So let's see, where are we? Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 28 and 29. But I'm going to back up and start reading at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Plus, He searches hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Plus, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Lord, we come before You this morning and just trust in Your word, trust in You, trust everything You say and do. And we pray, O Lord, as we have this time looking into the words that Paul wrote from the book of Romans, we pray that You would just bless our hearts and our minds and our souls with complete understanding. And I pray specifically, Lord, that nothing would come out of my mouth but what You have determined and wish for words that are spoken by me this morning. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we know that all things work together for those who love God according to His purposes, because those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. How does that sound to you? Does it sound like something exciting? Or does it sound like something that's kind of dreadful and you're waiting on the shoe to drop? The second one? The first one. It sounds exciting. Something to look forward to. Yes, being conformed to the image of Christ is something to look forward to. It's just sometimes the process of getting there is unpleasant. Right? But we need to understand when Paul says that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose. We have to understand that verse in the context of the whole paragraph, starting with verse 26, which is where I began to read. But to even really understand 26 through 29, we have to really start and go back to the previous paragraph where Paul says this: "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, because the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Because we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies, because in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." That sets up this next paragraph, which goes into the groanings of the Spirit for us and for our needs, even before we know what they are. And that sets up Romans 28 and 29, where all things are working to the good so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. Because likewise means just like the previous section. So when Paul is saying that we groan and wait for the redemption of our bodies, we must wait for it with patience. Likewise, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our groanings and for words that cannot be spoken. And the Spirit helps us to be conformed into the image of Christ. It's just sometimes that's not pleasant. But this idea of being conformed to the image of Christ isn't something that Paul's written about for the first time in Romans, nor is this the only place that it's mentioned and talked about. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, Paul says this, "And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man." That's bearing the image of Jesus. Then in Colossians 3:10, Paul writes, "And having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator." Meaning that as we put on the new self, shedding the old self before we were saved and put on the new self after salvation, we are being renewed day by day in the knowledge and understanding of the image of God. And then John writes this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be that has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So this idea of being conformed to the image of Christ is all throughout the New Testament. It's not just here in Romans. But back to Romans, we look at this idea of all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purposes. Many people like to quote the first half of Romans 28, but they don't seem as eager to quote the last half of Romans 28. You see, all things work together for good includes those things that are not so pleasant. But it's for a reason, because of those who are called according to his purpose. In fact, I'll give you a little hint on interpreting Romans. Actually, most all the books that Paul have written. When you see the word "for," you can just say "because." And when you see the word "and," you can just say "plus." So if we go back to verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses because we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for the words. Plus, he, the Spirit, who searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for his saints according to the will of God. Plus, we know that for those who love God, all things work together according to those who are called according to his purpose." That changes the dynamic of Romans as well as this particular paragraph, when you can substitute "because" and "plus" in those places. It's because the Spirit helps us in our weakness, he can help us go through all things, knowing they work together for our good, because we are being called according to his purpose. Now, that being called according to his purpose is a qualifier, right? If you're not walking with Christ, if you're not being obedient to him, that means you're not living according to his purpose for you. And if you aren't living according to his purpose, bad things may not always work out for your good. As I heard someone say this morning, if you're riding with the devil, you ought to expect bad things to happen. Yes. However, when we are walking with Christ, walking with him in faith, walking with him in obedience to what he's called us to our purposes, his purposes for us, even the most difficult of circumstances are working together for our good so that we can fulfill the purpose he has for us. And most of the time, that's the difficult stuff. Because in reality, you and I don't grow very much, don't move from where we are to a level of more conformity to the image of Christ during the good times. That happens during the difficult and hard times. That's when we really grow. In fact, I would make the case that during the good times, not only do we not grow, it displays and uncovers and reveals places where we need to grow. For example, if I leave here today thinking this was a really fantastic sermon, and I say, boy, I knocked it out of the park this morning. Okay, it was a good sermon. Maybe it was knocking it out of the park. But by the very fact I said that, I did this, reveals I still need to grow in this area of being in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And it also reveals my pride, that I'm not humble yet. And there's only one way to get humility. That's to be humbled. And that, my friends, is always an unpleasant experience. But it is for our good, so that we are conformed to the image of Christ with his humility. And on the front end of my example, a temporary removing of the Spirit or of lifting the blessing of working with the Spirit, because the Spirit's not really exactly working with me because of my pridefulness, then I learn the lesson and grow and conform more to the image of Christ at working with the Spirit and walking with the Spirit as well as with Jesus, or walking in the Spirit while I'm walking with Jesus. These can be difficult places to be in. You know, your reaction to the traffic on I-25 is not that much of an activity or work of the Lord to conform you into his image. Yes, absolutely. That's an area where we need to grow. But that's not exactly the place it happens. It's much more likely that this conformity into his image will come from the difficulty of a really hard and difficult place or moment in life. Like the death of someone you love. Maybe for another person, it'll be the difficulty of finances. Just having a difficult place, being in a difficult place financially, where you don't know where things are going to come from next or how you're going to meet this expense. But yet, we're being conformed into his image by learning to trust him and believe he will take care of us. Perhaps in another situation, you have a difficult workplace. People are not exactly what you would call nice and polite. And in doing so, you're now being conformed into the image of Christ by learning how to be patient and how not to respond in a tone and attitude and a heart of revenge and, I'll say, hatefulness. That's not really the word I'm looking for, of revenge and hatefulness. But instead, to graciously bear all things, trusting that the Lord himself will do and create in you a more humble, gloriously beautiful person, so that even your mean co-workers cannot say anything bad about you. From 1 Peter, let us suffer in a way so that even our enemies cannot say anything bad about us. I mean, I feel like I bring this up too often. I mean, you guys know what my 2023 was like. You guys know how brutal that year was, last year was. Yet, I see now, here in June of 24, how the Lord was using all these things to conform me into his image. I'm a much more humble person than I was before. I'm also more aware of how fragile life is and how we're never more than a heartbeat away from physical ruin. And that causes me to enjoy and take joy in life every day. Even the small things, like a funny little thing that I hear from one of my grandchildren did, to take joy in that. Or even a good joke. Key word there is good. Good joke. To find delight in that and to just laugh. I used to be, look, prior to 2023, I was a very serious person. And I did not take a lot of joy in life because I was too busy. I got to get things done. And then over and over and over again, God's providential hand began to break me from that seriousness and to start to take life and enjoy it more pleasantly. And I recognize that since my strokes last year, I am a different pastor. I'm a different preacher than I was before. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. I seek to feed you, not just teach you. Whereas before, the emphasis was too much on teaching you and not enough on feeding you. Those are just some examples of how the Lord uses hard things in our lives to conform us into his image. And I will say on this side of being conformed more into his image, from what I just discussed, highlighted with you, it's worth it. Now I recognize some of the things that happened to me could have gone very, very badly. I shouldn't be here talking and walking. Yet by God's gracious hand, I am. And yet I'm still grateful for what happened. And it's still happening to a certain degree because it's conforming me more into his image. I'll stop there with making examples of myself. I won't get into the whole subject of him foreknowing and predestination. That's really a subject that takes a lot more time than I have left this morning. But understand this. I will emphasize those two words. Because those whom God foreknew, God also predestined us, them, to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Look, this is how we know when difficult things happen, that they are from the Lord's hand, either directly or indirectly by him allowing it. When difficult things happen to us, it's because he predestined those things to happen so that for the purpose of us being conformed into the image of Christ. And you may be even questioning, what's the big deal of me being conformed to the image of Christ? I'm okay with where I am in my conforming to the image of Christ. Well, some of us might be okay. Here's the big deal. If we love Christ, we will seek to be more like him. And just as importantly, is someone who is conformed to the image of Christ is a beautiful and gloriously beautiful person. We reflect the image of Christ. So the more we're conformed into his image, the more we reflect him. And the more we're conformed to his image, the greater and richer and deeper our relationship with Christ. The greater and richer and deeper our fellowship with the Father. The greater, richer, and deeper our interaction and oneness with the Holy Spirit. All that just by being conformed into his image. And then this last phrase, in order that, for the purpose of, that we might be among the firstborn of many brothers. Now, when Paul wrote this here in the middle of the first century, Paul is referring to this first generation of believers. He's saying, look, we're all believers in Jesus and we're going through some difficulty, but this difficulty is to conform us more to the image of his Son, Christ, for the purpose of us being the first generation among many brothers and sisters. Paul at least had an understanding that this first generation of believers weren't going to be the only. There would be subsequent generation after generation after generation of believers. And of course, the temptation here is to look at that and go, oh, Paul was just talking about the first generation. It has nothing to do with us. That's not true. It has everything to do with us. Because we, even this 2,000 years later, we are still the firstborn among many brothers. Should the Lord tarry, as he has done for so many years now, there will be multiple generations of believers behind us. And us being conformed into his image more and more creates the beautiful person. It also opens a door for subsequent generations to become believers. To know what it means to taste the gloriously beautiful wonderfulness of Christ and to be freed from sin. For all their chains to fall off. As Wesley said, when he's talking about in the dark dungeon of night, mine eye diffused a quickening ray, the dungeon filled with light, my chains fell off, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. That's possible because we've experienced that same gloriously beautiful moment when we were set free from our chains as believers in Christ. And doing so also opens the door for others. Because when we're conformed into his image, we reflect Jesus and make him more attractive. So, my brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a close, know that nothing is going to occur in your life, past, present, or future, without it being by his providential hand, and that it is occurring so that you can be conformed into the image of Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this blessing and your mercies and your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, that you desire we are conformed into your image. Thank you, Christ, for letting us and working with us through the power of the Spirit to be conformed into your image. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for working in us and interceding for us even when we don't know what to intercede for. In Jesus' holy name, amen.